the beauty of Portland. And so I just wanted to make the point that the biomass of these trees has a significant financial value on the surrounding air quality for the community, and that it's time to take these trees to grow to a point where they can act as big air scrubbers in our neighborhoods, and that that should be taken into consideration, as well as somebody else pointed out, the stormwater runoff. Those are both just huge impacts. So I don't envy you what you're working on with the fact that you're trying to balance, you know, the needs of the development and the needs of more housing in this city, while we're also trying to support the quality of what this city represents for a lot of people, and the trees speak very much to that. And so my last point is just to thank you for your time and once again appreciate your commitment and dedication to our beautiful city.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Welcome.
Good afternoon, and I thank you for letting me speak here today. My name is Madison Weekly. I did not intend on speaking, but after hearing some of the commentary today, I found it prudent to bring up a few things. First of all, I was recently a member of the Northeast Coalition Neighborhoods Land Use and Transportation Committee. I had to step down to go back to school, but while I was there, I really noted that most of the members on there were working full-time jobs. They had children. They were really taxed. And someone made the point that 30 days, if strategically hit, only gives a neighborhood association committee or a committee like NECN one day to act. And that's really not a lot of time to really empower a community. So I really urge you all to consider a 45-day notice that gives, in that strategic scenario, there's still 2 weeks of action that the public can take. And then my second comment is with regard to the public tree exemption. I certainly understand the challenge of competing bureaus' priorities, especially only because Commissioner Novick spoke about it, but the way that trees and sidewalks sort of compete at times for space. And I certainly don't want to take funds away from PBOT. So I am wondering why no one has asked the question of, well, why don't we still apply the public notice to those trees and give the community that we're really concerned with giving equity to, why don't we also allow them to be empowered and to sort of, contribute to the conversation of, well, we'd rather have this tree or we'd rather have this sidewalk and assisting in creating alternatives like encouraging a sidewalk to curve around a tree or to give some space for roots. But so I just think that, coming from this community action that I did with NACN, I think that providing some opportunity for empowerment is key. And if we're saying that we're not going to hold bureaus to the same standard as the community, we should at least provide an opportunity for empowerment and for conversation to happen. So, again, I really appreciate having this opportunity to speak, and thanks for considering what we have to say.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Thanks. I think there's one other person who wanted to come up. Come on up, please. Welcome. Sure, take it.
Thank you guys so much. I know this is a really loaded area. I did submit comments.
Just give your name.
Oh, I'm so sorry. My name is Lisa Scooby. I live in the Hillsdale neighborhood. I'm a homeowner. I am a communications person. I am a nature enthusiast, and I also do a lot of facilitation and really mixed and political challenges like this. I've been tracking this particular issue for some time. I've been greatly supporting a lot of the efforts that you folks are doing and the different folks within the community. Urban forestry has been amazing, as have been many other advocates, the chair commission, and all of the various forces that are working around this. It's personal, it's economic, it's emotional, it's cultural, and ultimately it's going to be our legacy. And you guys are sitting in front of that, and it's an amazing opportunity, and it's also a really big challenge. I did submit comments, and I did also submit images. I've been personally impacted in my neighborhood. We've had about a dozen trees all over 100 feet taken in the last couple years. The worst of that was happening right before this tree initiative, tree rule, went into effect. But the things that I see that really are of great concern is when we see that we have a 30-day notification, we do have to realize that these are trees which have stood, many of them, for over 100 years. So 30 days seems like a very, very small and perhaps inadequate amount of time, considering the length of the time that that tree has provided the measure of value that it does to our amazing city. 20 inches and up seems like a start point. These trees just aren't going to get that big if they're smaller. It's a very, very difficult time to be finding land to even be building or putting in the trees, and the buildings that are going in are preventing those opportunities at a rate which is pretty alarming. In my neighborhood across the street, we lost 3 mature trees with a home that was put on a 5,000 square foot lot, which has pretty much persecuted that lot within an inch of its life, and I look forward to reviewing the images that I've shared with you so that you can see what that looks like. We do have buildings that are eligible for the historical registry at 50 years, and again, our trees at 2-3 times that seem to be at risk in a way that there aren't that many of them. So it seems a really good idea, as one gentleman said, to perhaps consider not taking them out or building around them. The cross-bureau coordination in our experience in my neighborhood was very challenged, and it's a difficult thing that you guys are trying to do, but it seems in whatever process design is created that the opportunity for you guys to all work together and to work in a coordinated way needs to be supported through infrastructure and with community voices incentivized to be a part of that in a way that is amicable, forward-looking, and proactive. So it isn't always crisis and crisis mitigation. And the developers can be a part of that in such a way that we create better communication across the groups. Urban Forestry's recommendation or proposal, I think, is the one that is best suited to help us in this stopgap opportunity. And again, the notification part to allow our neighborhoods to have more time to weigh in, I think, would do a great deal of good for communities and for the future of our beautiful trees. Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to share my thoughts with you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay, time for some discussion. Not up for a vote today, but up for vote next week. Questions? Discussion?
I guess I would have a potential amendment. I want to sound my colleagues out on it, but I guess I've been persuaded in listening to the testimony and also looking at those cutouts of the diameters of trees. I think we should have a inch-for-inch mitigation fee based on 36 inches in diameter rather than 50-inch diameter.
Second.
Okay. That's an amendment.
I guess that's an amendment.
Vote on these in turn or hear them all and then discuss. Let's put everything on the table. I want to raise a couple of questions. So that amendment's before us. We'll take action on it. It wasn't raised in testimony, but I want to raise a question about a potential unintended consequence. And that's I'm sorry. No, you have gone to 5,000 square feet or greater.
That's what it is now.
Sorry, you're sticking with 5,000 square feet or greater. So are we creating a perverse incentive to, in situations where lot splitting is possible and somebody can create 2 3,500 square foot lots or out of a 7,000 square foot lot, to are we biasing towards development in that situation while our changes to the zoning code that might come from the infill project are still pending?
My experience has been that developers do not need any incentive for doing that lot splitting and cramming 2 houses in where one would do.
Well, I understand that. I understand that that incentive already exists, but we're not making it any tougher on that situation.
No.
That concerns me a little bit.
Well, I think, as I said, that this is a much bigger question than just...
Yeah, I get that.
So definitely, that's just something that I would support and that we need to look at very closely, both in the infill project that you're doing and in the ongoing project with the tree code. But there's a lot of potential implications if we were to just do it now without looking at the entire rest of Title 11.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think that through. So the infill project recommendations, if we get to us later this year, we'll act on those. That'll be before we get back to the tree code.
But the tree code, I'm hoping, will start in the beginning of July. So it's possible that we could ask that particular question to be first on the list and to discuss it at the same time as your infill project.
That'll be pretty close to synchronized.
Yeah.
Mayor, I appreciate the testimony about potential impact of cuts in general fund bureaus to the overall cause here. And I think particularly was called out the money we spent on Dutch Elm. And in fairness to Commissioner Fritz, we have given instructions to every general fund bureau to identify a 5% cut. That doesn't mean we're taking a 5% cut. And And also in fairness to Commissioner Fritz, if she wasn't, if her advisory groups were not suggesting a cut to that program, they'd be suggesting closing a pool. And if it wasn't closing a pool,
suggesting that too, Commissioner.
cutting back on some other cherished program. So in parks in particular, there's no low-hanging fruit. It's already been cut to the bone. So the 5% cut packages that she's required to show the council are all challenging, including this one. But I appreciate that that was called out as something that we shouldn't be making progress here and then retreating there. So I appreciate that.
Thank you, Commissioner. And I want to be very clear, as I at the Parks Budget Advisory Committee and I were in our transmission, we don't support any of the cuts that are proposed in parks. There's a couple of increased revenues that I support, but as you say, everything in parks is important to somebody, and certainly I don't support the cuts of the Dutch Elm.
Mayor, I suggest we move the amendment. I have some additional questions on the testimony, but since we're in about the 15th hour of testimony over 2 days, yeah. My brain is getting mushy.
I have one other potential amendment. I just wanted to raise the other two other issues real quickly and see if particularly what the sponsors thought. One is the notice time issue, and the other is the city bureau's issue. We got good testimony on both those issues. What are your thoughts about 30 days versus 45 versus something else? And what about city bureaus? Your thoughts about those?
I think, 45 days seems to make a lot more sense given the cycle of neighborhood association meetings. And I don't know if you asked, when you say what about city bureaus, do you mean the notification?
No, I mean the applicability to right-of-way trees.
Well, let's do one at a time. I agree that 45 days makes more sense and certainly.
Okay.
Right, we have two amendments on the table.
Commissioner Fish is in an action mood, I can tell. And then the city bureau issue, is that one that probably needs a little more time?
I'm not prepared to act.
I hear the point.
I think it probably needs more time.
Okay. I'm interested in exploring that issue further, but I understand the point that this is a repair effort, not necessarily the final discussion of tree ordinances by the city council.
Right, and that's certainly something that we could have some more discussion about. We heard a lot of testimony on it. There is the issue of the Portland Development Commission sites, and that needs to have some discussion.
Yeah, I'll look into that in particular.
And the potential for we could enact a public notice requirement and discussion outside of Title 11. Oh, it looks like the city forester has a comment. Would you like to come to the
council? Come on up, Jen. Just give us a little feedback on that, please.
Well, she's going to tell us that PDC property is city property, but the question that I still have is since PDC generally is not the developer, what happens when the property is either sold or transferred, and what becomes its status then? I think that requires, you could give us an answer, but I still think it would be useful to have the city attorney just scrub that real quick.
I would agree with that, but the inclination, probably with 90% certainty, is to say if it's leased, PDC is leasing it to someone else, it's still city-owned property.
And if it's sold.
And if it's sold, it's not, and so it would be a private tree.
But I think if the Mayor Hales will remind us, since he's in charge of PDC, it still can be sold subject to certain conditions. So we want to make sure that whatever the conditions are, they don't work across purposes with what we're trying to affect here.
Yeah, that's an issue. I want to let everybody know I'm going to take a very close look at that question with PDC in particular in the meantime, no matter what we do today. So appreciate people raising that. Other questions for our staff? Okay, then let's take action on the amendments. First is Commissioner Salt, the amendment to change it to 36 inches and inch by inch beyond that, right?
Thank you. Aye.
Ish.
We're not going to get a chance probably to make comments in front of this gathering. Again, many of you won't be here next week, so I'll just say I appreciate this hearing, and hearings do matter at this council, and we do listen, and we do act on what we hear. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
I'm going to vote yes because instinctively it sounds fine, but I think that we've missed an opportunity by not putting this on the table at the beginning of our discussion to hear testimony on it. So I reserve the right next week to say, no, I've heard more about it, and so I want to revisit it. So with that caveat, aye.
Hales.
Yeah, I appreciate the great testimony on that and other subjects today. Aye. And then the second amendment to change the notice period from 30 days to 45 days.
Fritz?
Well, again, we did actually have both the Planning Commission, Planning and Sustainability Commission, and the Urban Forestry Commission's proposals on the table as or for discussion, as well as the proposal that we put forward. So I believe there has been, despite the fairly rushed process, a significant amount of discussion in the community and with the development community, with Development Review Advisory Commission Committee. So I'm really pleased with the Council's responsiveness to the testimony that we've heard today. As Commissioner Fish noted, we'll be voting next week, and we will obviously be thinking about it some more since then. I particularly want to thank Mike Hayakawa and Mika Keenan, who were very instrumental in the first year of the tree project, as well as Jen Cairo, our wonderful city forester, and Emily Sandy, who's taken over. Jill Grenda and Rebecca Esau have been absolutely fantastic in the Bureau of Development Services. And again, the partnership with Commissioner Saltzman and between the bureaus, in some ways, the tree code was set up to have to both resolve conflicts, as Linda Robinson pointed out. If you think this was bad, look at how it was before. It has solved many of the problems, and I really appreciate everybody coming out to acknowledge that and to continue to remind the Council. This is why we did this in 2011. This is why I helped start it back in 2006 when I was a young community activist with no gray hair. Well, not as much as I have now. So it's been an amazing process, and thank you for reminding us why we do it. I also want to thank Patty Howard and Tom Bazo on my staff, who, again, have moved on and have done great work, and so have Pooja Bhatt and Tim Crail, who are now helping to staff this issue for me. So I'll have an even longer list of thank yous next week, but I wanted to thank everybody who's been here today and for this entire process. It really is an example of Portlanders at our best, considering all of the different aspects of what's important to us, to our city, to our environment. And so I'm glad that we're also doing this amendment to add 45 days as the notice requirement, because it is part of the development process, and we shouldn't be just chopping down whacking great trees with very little notice or thought, and that this accomplishes that. Aye.
Fish.
Yeah, we heard that an extra 15 days ensures that community groups, neighborhood associations have a meaningful voice, so that makes sense. And since we're thanking some of the unsung heroes, I'm going to a farewell party this Saturday for Hannah Kuhn. Hannah's email address is Hannah in Germany, which is odd because she's been living here for many years, but she's actually moving to Germany. And as the Council knows, Hannah did a lot of the hard, unsung work behind the scenes, actually hammering out the inter-bureau stuff when it was not very sexy, but helped lay a foundation for this day. And I want to thank Hannah for what she did, my former chief of staff. Aye.
Saltzman?
Yeah, there's a lot of people who have worked very hard on this from before we had an ordinance to this tweak and to more comprehensive revisions in the future. So I also want to acknowledge the hard work of people in the Bureau of Development Services, Portland Parks and Recreation, Urban Forestry, staff members, Matt Grum in my office, and sort of the Hall of Fame that was just ticked off by Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Fish. And I do want to say that since we're voting on the notice requirement, I was intrigued by what our last testifier said about perhaps it should apply to trees in the public right-of-way, too. So I kind of want to think about that between now and next week. But right now I understand we're doing this for respect to, as the code provisions in front of us, for trees that are on private property. But I guess I want to think about that a little more in the next week. Aye.
Novick.
I also agree that people should have notice about trees in the public right-of-way so that, as somebody said, they have the opportunity to determine whether they'd rather have a sidewalk or that tree. I suspect that those discussions already happen in the course of public notice of particular projects, and I think probably the time to have that discussion is earlier in the project rather than before when the project has been approved and funded. But I will check and make sure that that kind of notice is in fact given in the course of our project work. After that aside, I certainly agree that there should be sufficient notice to allow the neighborhood associations that meet in monthly schedule to weigh in. So I appreciate this amendment. Aye.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Fritz, Commissioner Saltzman, for your good work on this, and thank you all for coming and having a good discussion. It made a good proposal better today, thanks to your advocacy. I want to this amendment in particular. It's about 40 years ago when the city council decided to actually give power to neighborhood associations formally in city code, and land use intervention is one of those places. And in a city with 600,000 people, five city council members, and 100 neighborhoods, it's really important that that balance of power remain there, that neighborhoods have actual power in the land use process, whether it's working on a neighborhood plan or, in this case, on a development issue that affects neighborhood livability. So we have to keep looking for ways to refresh that and making sure that it's still true, that neighborhoods have a say. And this is a small change, but one more sign that we mean it about that role of neighborhoods. So I'm pleased about that. And I just think that this has made a difficult balance better, and I just want to appreciate the work that's been done. Look forward to seeing it put into action, and we'll make sure, as the commissioner in charge of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, that when we bring our infill requirements forward, that we make sure that those two fit together well and create the result we want in terms of quality infill and environmental quality at the same time. So well done. Aye. And we're adjourned until next week. Thank you. Good job, guys.
Great outcome. Really happy.
Good day. Yeah. And the Attorney General came in and said we're doing a good job.
Good.
The IZ passed in this. It's going to be 36 parking spots on one side.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Right. It looks like it'll take out about 30 or 80 trees.
Oh, yeah.
That will certainly be immediate, but it'll change one of the trees. I hope there can be discussion before that happens.
Well, like you flag something, there can be discussion often. There can't be altering the proposal.
Those are really affectionate thoughts. Literally, yeah, you're probably right. You should see me getting them in here.
No.
Yeah. You get a different vehicle, just fancy parking.
Good job.
Okay, thanks.
I recognize that, right?
Okay.